everybody. Welcome to the 8th episode of the Big Orange Podcast. My name is Matt. So I'm the head of film and motion graphics here. And alongside me is our MD, Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hello, everybody. Thanks, Matt. It's lovely to be back talking to you all again after a short break.
It's been quite a long time since our last one. So many things have happened. The world has turned and changed a lot. But we thought it was about time that we got back on the mic, mainly because we'll be releasing this on International Podcast Day 2022, which is the 30th of September. We were spurred on by that. I think we haven't done one for quite some time, and a lot has changed in that time. Joe, what have been the highlights for you since our last podcast, which was actually probably about, at least a year ago?
It was, in fact, December, I think.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
I think we've done guest bits and pieces since then, but our last bop was with John from Total Jobs. Thank you very much, John, again, for joining us. That was really great to talk about workplaces and how they've developed and changed, and obviously, you know, the post-COVID fallout, all that stuff in terms of kind of finding the right people. Really interesting. And now, you know, obviously we are at the end of September going into the last quarter of 2022. I think, let's be honest, the world still has its challenges. But, you know, from the perspective of us working as a full-service marketing business, we've obviously done quite a lot of new and exciting things, which we're going to cover today. I think ultimately we've just tried really, really hard to make sure that we're focusing in the right areas. I think as a lot of businesses will probably say a similar thing, it's more about looking at how we can develop the right opportunities and not waste time. And that, I think, has been really difficult for, you know, it's certainly for us. I mean, people are more reticent to spend money, because they want their budget to go a lot further, and rightly so. So we've had to adapt our way of delivering our offering. You know, we've got something quite, you know, different now to what we had, say, 18 months ago, certainly pre-pandemic. On the whole, I'd say it's been very positive. You know, we're very lucky. We'll go into it later. We've worked quite a lot abroad over the last 12 months. We've been able to develop new relationships in North America, in Cyprus, in Italy, which has been really good for us. And equally, we've grown what we're doing in the local area. So yeah, positive, but not without its challenges, is probably the upshot.
I think it's the evolution, isn't it? It's an evolution of our business, and also those around us as times change and pressures and societal influence changes. One of the things that I think has been really interesting, and something that we're going to sort of deep dive into now, is the difference between the first podcast that we recorded all the way back in August 2020, when we were in the thick of the COVID pandemic, to now. And I had a cheeky listen back to that episode the other day, and it's crazy. The things that we were talking about, the way we were talking, as I said, the pressure points and the things that were the most important to us, have radically changed in the space of the last 2 years. Everybody's familiar with what happened and how it affected them individually. I think everybody had their own unique experience. There were obviously some crossovers. But I wanted to take a look at some of the things that we spoke about, and also some of the things that we predicted would happen in the future, and whether we got any of them right, whether we got any of them wrong. There are some quite funny observations. Some of which I think we kind of nailed.
It has Mystic Meg eat your heart out, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's a very specific reference for a very specific point in time.
That's very true. You get 5 big orange points if you can remember who or what Mystic Meg was. Yes, gosh, that's just
also, if you can hum the Funhouse theme tune and just leave that in the comments as a web file, that'd be great.
We'll use that in the next podcast. So let's deep dive into this. I think it's interesting just to take a look at it from, as we're talking about evolution of business and also just the change in, you know, life in general, both in a business sense and in a personal sense. We started chucking out a whole bunch of stats and also some big news stories that were happening 2 years ago. Now, as we well know, the news cycle, anything a week old is ancient news. So yeah, to take a look back over 24 months, especially 24 months like the one that we've just had, is just, yeah, it's fascinating to see. So back in August 2020, Jack Dorsey was still in charge of Twitter, if you can imagine such a thing. And I remember you saying, Joe, that he had decreed that all people working at Twitter could work from home forever. Now, I don't even know if that still exists as a thing, but that was an announcement that he made at that point.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of, it swung our conversation into this idea of where people work from.
I actually don't know. That's really interesting. I wonder if Twitter have kept that policy with the new management. I would be interested to know. We will find that out. But I think the wider question, certainly, you know, us trying to predict 2 years ago what was going to happen, you know, in the global workplace in terms of kind of people coming back in. And I think we hit the nail on the head, you know, not to pat ourselves on the back too much, but I mean, that's one positive that's come out of the pandemic, right, is where you work. And actually, we will never go back to being a business that enforces people to come in 5 days a week, no, 9:30 to 5:30. It just won't happen. We have a really good setup now in terms of hybrid working. People can work from anywhere, obviously, like I would suggest most modern businesses would put all the checks and balances in place to ensure that people are able to do that. I think the, you know, one of the interesting things now is like a lot of companies going into this kind of work from anywhere. So EasyJet recently introduced that policy where you could literally, you know, you can be anywhere in the world and you can work. And I guess technically that's the same, you know, that could be the same for any job. It doesn't necessarily matter where you are.
Unless you're a pilot, of course, you kind of need to be.
Well, that's probably not ideal. or indeed, you know, a leader of a country probably can't do that from somewhere else. We're not getting into politics because
no,
this is a.
Said we wouldn't do that.
This is a happy, friendly podcast. But now, for example, like, you know, international travel this year. Obviously, you spent some time in the States. You know, a little bit of business, a little bit of pleasure, obviously, you know, staying with some of your friends, but also doing some time working over there. And I mean, that in the past, that maybe wouldn't have been something that would be so open to, you know, that we would probably be able to kind of work that between us. But I think in general, that's something that's like, yeah, that can work, you know. And even with the time difference and kind of being, you're still able to kind of pack up and have that mini setup and plug and play, which I think that is definitely something that has sped up that process. You know, the pandemic has 100% kind of, you know, rattled that forward at a rate of knots. I can't see that having happened at such velocity if the hand wasn't forced. And I think that is really great, and that's certainly something that I think people benefit from. It's the balance of being in and out. I think that from our perspective, that is what's important, is having a bit of time in with, you know, the collective group, so we can kind of bounce ideas off each other and also have a space to kind of just knuckle down and kind of get cracking, which obviously opens up a lot of doors in, you know, different ways of working, employing different people in different places and, you know, different clients, all that sort of stuff. So I think that has been a positive for sure, and that will remain. I think can't see that changing.
I think one of the things that you mentioned in the initial stage of that was that hybrid working, as we kind of came to the conclusion, would be the best for us, but also seemed like it was the best for a lot of our clients, is sort of the way of the future. But the one thing that we didn't want to lose was the ability to have the camaraderie and the business ethos, and the way that we had built over the course of up to that point had been 4 years of, you know, the Big Orange Way, if you like. And, you know, being in separate locations, you can lose that no matter how good the technology is. If you're, like you say, not in the office where you can literally just pop your head above a monitor and ask a question, or, you know, as we did yesterday, talk about our favorite Disney films for 5 minutes just to somebody suddenly came out and was like, that's it, we're talking about that. You know, you don't necessarily have that if you drop it into a Slack chat or what have you. But just interesting thinking about some statistics stuff. Actually, I've just had a quick look at the census from ONS. And they put out a story back in May about hybrid working, whether it's here to stay or not. Workers were asked about their future plans in February 2022 after government guidance to work from home was possible was lifted everywhere. It's crazy to think that was only in February.
I know, it
feels like it's been forever now.
Yeah.
More than 8 in 10 workers who had to work from home during the COVID pandemic said they planned to go back into the office and do that hybrid thing. Since then, the proportion of hybrid working has risen from 13% in February 2022 to 24% in May. So that's obviously exponentially, it's gone up. Mm. And I can imagine since May until now, you know, that that trend continues.
Yeah.
And we came to the conclusion that obviously it's an amalgamation of the technology being here. And also, as with most major innovations in history, really, it certainly to my mind, because we were forced into a corner where we had to do something about it, as you say, it expedited it, it made it happen quicker. A lot of things, good and bad, have come out of, difficult, challenging situations where we just need to react and find a way to make it work.
Yeah.
And I guess the looking at it on the other side of it now is thinking, well, okay, that was when it was compulsory and legislated.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it's a choice, does it remain? And those figures certainly support that.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, there's no real reason for businesses or employees to go back to the way that it was, you know, in certain settings, right? You know, obviously there were, you know,
there are sectors that are necessary to be on site. It's unavoidable. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't be a construction manager or a builder and go, do you know what? I'm going to do this at home today. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they can. I'm specifically referring to office-based or kind of the more professional services type activities, I would guess. I mean, the overheads of, you know, running a big office, heating it, lighting it, providing security and all that stuff. The travel costs for employees, you know, obviously, wherever you're kind of coming from, I think these are always big considerations for anyone, you know, moving from company to company whenever they did so. And I think that nowadays that isn't as much of a consideration for people because, you know, even if they had to travel, let's say, 70 miles once or twice a week, that's far more manageable than doing that five times a week.
Absolutely,
plus everything else. So I think that's definitely stands to reason. And certainly there's more challenges happening now. Of course, you know, people need to be able to ensure that as much of their disposable income is left as such, so they're not, you know, needing to spend that on travel, or indeed if they are, there's things that companies are able potentially to put in place for them. I think that doesn't surprise me, the ONS stats at all. I think that there's no doubt that it will, you know, it will remain. I still feel that the important thing is to develop a culture. When we've obviously, you know, interviewed and brought people into the business, I always like to meet them in person where possible. We've only ever done that once or twice where we've obviously interviewed and offered the job to somebody, and it's all been remote. And obviously that happens very successfully, you know, in lots of different industries. This is purely personal preference. I like meeting people. I think it's important to, you know, to share that kind of, as you say, the common ground, the kind of, you know, getting to know you better. And I think that's so much easier in person. And probably that is also kind of a bit of the fallout from pandemic, right? Because you weren't able to do that. You couldn't, you know, just openly go, come in and have a chat and let's have a coffee, or let's meet for a beer after work so we can kind of just, you know, chew the cud and go through the questions you have or whatever. I genuinely feel that is still very important and contributes to kind of adding into that culture. And it's harder, not impossible, but harder to ingratiate fully into the culture of a business if you're detached. And obviously that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, this presenteeism kind of being there all the time, but, you know, personally I feel that it's something that can be a challenge if you aren't there at all. But as I say, you know, obviously that's thoughts and opinions on my own, I suppose horses for courses to a degree, but I always feel like meeting somebody and having that conversation is a good barometer for thinking about how they might fit with the wider group. So I think that's important.
I think also this is something that potentially was the as in hybrid working or even just remote working in general, was the save of larger companies where an individual had such a level of expertise and skill set that they would be required to be in multiple places across the world at once and still be accessible and attainable, which is why platforms like Zoom and what have you did exist in those capacities. But essentially what we're talking about is the ability for that to be viable for SMEs and for businesses of our size, where before it was, you know, never really considered, or it would be a real out of the way type scenario to offer such a thing, when in fact it's probably just easier to get on and be in the office. But then we as we were talking about earlier on, just moving on to a slightly different topic, we spoke about the pressures of COVID, which were, you know, inability to be interact in person, and ways to work around that. And now, obviously, we're sort of faced with a whole different set of challenges in the world, in certainly in involving things like cost of living crisis and what have you. So people are pinching pennies wherever they can, and that goes for individuals and businesses alike. So potentially being at home and, like you say, cutting down that travel time, certainly with the price of fuel and things like that, taking that into consideration, you know, if you are able to discharge your duties 2-3 days a week from where you are, your heating bill might be a little bit higher, but your gas bill might be a little bit lower. Do you know what I mean? So there's your petrol bill might be a little lower. So it is a bit swings and roundabouts, but it's just about how that sort of thing impacts, how what we've learned over the last 2 years to get to where we are now in terms of working from home and working in the office, how that works in 2022 and moving into 2023.
As I say, I think that it will remain. But interestingly, it hasn't stopped us as a company moving into different areas. So, you know, obviously one of the things that we've been working on is the fact that we are now, we've always had a presence in the City of London. You know, a lot of our clients are, you know, based in London. So, you know, we've obviously worked, you know, out of there quite a lot. But, you know, within the last 6 months, we've set up digs in Brighton. And, you know, it's not to say that, you know, you need to have a physical presence in those areas in order to grow your awareness. But I think it does help. You know, in today's world, you could say, right, we're going to set up somewhere in Guildford or in Manchester or in Liverpool and buy a, you know, an address, and that's, for all intents and purposes, obviously that's kind of what one, you know, is able to do. So we've got physical office space, kind of, you know, this kind of co-working dedicated area for us in those two locations, and that helps in a number of ways, in the sense that we can invite people into an environment in their local city. Also helpful in the sense that, you know, we know that there are two areas that we can expand in. There's plenty of like-minded, engaged businesses in those areas that obviously need the services that we provide. And, you know, and actually I think that can equally does play into the culture again. It's kind of looking at us as a company, where would we most culturally fit, where would we ingratiate? And that is a consideration, obviously, you know, in order to grow your foothold in an area. I think it's important to make sure, you know, you're expanding in a place that kind of fits your own thoughts and ideologies and all that sort of stuff. Otherwise, you could get it completely wrong. And, you know, obviously, if you're not doing any market research, and you know, I'm not suggesting we're suddenly going to take off and fly in Brighton, but that's the plan. Obviously, we've worked hard to establish that. Obviously, from what we're doing in the UK, that they feel like the right areas, and that's where we're going to kind of stick, in that sort of southeast corridor. So yeah, it's really exciting, and I love being by the seaside. Always nice.
I think the important thing to note as well is that it's kind of allowed us to spearhead our vision a little bit. Although we do work with companies across the UK nationwide, and as you mentioned, we are working well globally in a lot of senses. These are good locations for expansion. They're easily accessible from one another, and also they are just good areas to grow in. Obviously, London is always going to be attractive, and there are a number of businesses here in Brighton that we are already involved with and working with, and look to do many, many more. And I do feel that they suit our ethos and what we do, which is the same for any part of the country, obviously, as you say. But it's mainly because I decided to move here that, you know, of course, we opened the doors to my brainchild.
Quite right, exactly. Yeah, so. I know that you can't walk more than 500 metres on flat ground to an office, so it was kind of it was inevitable.
I've tripled my journey to work, Joe. I'm absolutely livid. It's now 3 minutes. So, but then, so that the opportunity to meet people again and being just that in and of itself, just the idea of having a co-working space where multiple people from different households, it was alien. I'll drop in a couple of clips into this podcast to remind us of what was happening back then, which was a sweltering day in August 2022 as well. It was a very hot summer, I seem to recall, and the fans were blaring in the background, which is in great difference to how we are today. So even the weather's different. just the concept of mixing households, some of the phraseology that we were using, mixing households and, you know, numbers of people and distance that we had to stand from one another, you know, over 1 meter, and what you could and couldn't do, and the idea of those restrictions. And, you know, it's been, we're all very familiar with them, but I don't know whether anybody else feels this way, but I certainly do. Listening back to those quotes and putting your head back into that space and just thinking of how everything functioned in that time and how certainly my mind has gone, yeah, that happened, but you're not going to think about it. Like, it's inconceivable now. It's a little bit like I have with the weather, like in the depths of winter, I can't imagine the idea of walking around in a t-shirt. Yet when it's a nice sunny 24, 25, 26 degree day, you know, the coat's at the back of the cupboard to never be seen again if I can help it.
Exactly. It's the weird turning point now, everybody, the end of September. Don't know what to wear. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Do you take your shorts off or do you wear trousers? Get the jumpers out? Don't know. It's crazy.
Have you turned the heating on yet? That's the most important question. Because I haven't yet.
Not till October.
Exactly. See, I told you, October's a good rule for hot things. That's when I start having my tea again.
Well, I think it's compartmentalisation, isn't it? And that's important. Otherwise, you know, if we weren't able to do that, then we'd never get through anything. But I'm glad that we're kind of, you know, seeing hopefully the back of that now as much as possible. But, you know, I think that's definitely been a positive that's come out of it. The world, certainly our world, you know, the sort of the media marketing sector has taken a bit longer to recover because marketing for some businesses is still seen as a bit of a luxury. Obviously, it can be one of the first things to be scaled back or to be removed based on the preservation mode. And obviously, you know, got through that. We talked, you know, a lot about that in that specific podcast that we're referencing now. But as I said at the start, you know, people want more from their investment. And yeah, rightly so. But I think, you know, from our perspective, it was looking at how we can develop more of a campaign rather than just a one-off piece of work. So when we're looking at something, if it's video related, what does that video need to do? Who's it talking to? Is it, you know, a tool for business development? Is it just a brand awareness piece? Is it, you know, something that they need, you know, possibly some sort of micro site to, you know, deliver more, you know, lead gen or anything like that. So we've looked at it as the whole piece to say, look, from end to end, this is what you're able to potentially get from that, rather than, you know, there you go, here's a nice shiny video or, you know, podcast or piece of creative work, and then we're not going to let you do with that. You know, that's been a notable part, that things have taken a bit longer. As such, you know, we have looked in other places and we've been lucky enough to win contracts abroad. So, you know, we have done quite a lot of work in Cyprus this year with a new real estate business. More on that in upcoming podcasts and segments as we release them, but that's been really great. We've been working in America and Canada, Italy, obviously, you know, a continued presence in the Netherlands. And, you know, these are all obviously, you know, name dropping the countries that we're working in, it doesn't all sound fantastic, but equally it has been obviously a challenge to understand the different cultures. Each country was affected slightly differently by those different challenges that they faced, and we've had to adapt our offering to make that attractive and engaging for the clients in those specific countries. And I'm obviously super proud of all the team's work. You know, we've from websites to video content to sort of full branding and sort of platform development. We've done the whole, the whole nine yards in the last 18 months, which is, you know, really great. So it's enabled us to grow our presence in different areas, but we've kind of needed to as well to kind of make up for some of the revenue that maybe we, you know, has been slightly more challenging to get from the UK.
It's the world opening up as well, though, isn't it? Because those companies and those countries will want to invest in different areas and work with like-minded individuals around the globe. So
yeah,
it's a real sign that things are, well, I think most people are quite confident that we're in a much better place than we were. But it's good to have those interactions, and it's good to be able to expand globally. And as you say, understand those cultures and the differences, not sort of go in size nines, British, this is how we do things.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have a mix of cultures even in the office of different people from, you know, different backgrounds and parts of the world. So that obviously always helps.
Yeah. So I think that's been, you know, that's been a huge positive. And we're, you know, we're really keen to develop that as time goes on. And, you know, we're obviously, even, you know, being able to kind of get out to some of these places is now much easier than it was even a year ago. Even going to Amsterdam last year, this time last year, still had to do various tests, obviously being fit to fly, all of that sort of stuff. Is luckily all of that is now not in place, so we were able to do that freely, and in meaning that obviously we can kind of go out as we are in a couple of weeks time to deliver some of those projects that we haven't been able to do in that time. So I think it does, notwithstanding the fact that the world is in another tricky spot, I think that we can't let ourselves get too wrapped up in that. Obviously it is a challenging time for all personally and professionally. We are optimistic, we want to be sort of glass half full and look at ways in which we can help where we can, obviously continue to develop what we're doing. So I feel as we go into this kind of last quarter that people are still cautiously optimistic with business developing, but I think we just want to make sure that what we're offering matches the mood and we're not kind of over egging something that people potentially don't want at any given time. But we've seen an uptick in most areas across the board, all the creative content, certainly people now engaging much more video, so the social presence and the management of various accounts we've got again has gone up. So I think all of those are indicators that things aren't awful. They're not at all, but as I say, we're just obviously cautious with the backdrop of the world and want to make sure that we match what we're doing with that to try and be as sympathetic and as engaged as possible with what's going on in the world.
So that's quite a nice little overview of where we've gone in 2 years, certainly how we as BOM have developed, but also looking back at some crazy times from the first podcast. So happy International Podcast Day to you all, those who celebrate. And we'll be creating new podcasts and indeed bringing back the segments as we go through into 2023. As I say, now that things are sort of firing on all cylinders, we'll be able to show you some of the fantastic content and clients that we are working on and with. Also sort of showcasing our Brighton content. Hopefully a lovely little trip to Cyprus at some point. That would be nice. Just going to put that in there. And obviously all the stuff that we do with our other ventures on the continent in Holland and other areas. So sort of to wrap things up then, 2022 has been quite an interesting year. As we say, going from the final full lifting of all restrictions in February, which again still blows my mind. That we are now a good, not even 7 months from that to here, to in my mind, to consider that it was at least all done in 2021. We've got 3 months of the year left. We're now in the sways of the usual leap to get everything done before the end of the year, so it's getting super busy again. What are you looking forward to most between now and the end of the year? And don't say Christmas.
Yeah, damn it. You know me too well. What am I looking at? My birthday.
Oh, okay. I should have said that too.
I'm looking forward to spending time with my esteemed colleagues and friends as we develop our business in our new areas, and obviously just putting out more content like this, and we feel we've got a little bit more space to do that. Not going to use the C word yet, but it is just around the corner. Supermarkets will tell you, ho ho ho.
The H word is closer. Spooky season is on its way. So thanks everybody for listening. As I say, this is podcast episode number 8. We will be making these more frequently going forward, and also having more guests and folks on it, more members of the Big Orange team, some that you haven't been introduced to yet, will also be involved. You can get hold of this obviously across all of our podcast networks. I think we're on Apple and Spotify. I don't use Spotify anymore. I even forgot what it was called. Obviously, you can check us out on our socials across all major platforms, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Joe, any final words from you?
Thank you very much for listening to us, everybody. I'm sure you've missed our dulcet tones. We will provide more of this content for your listening pleasure very shortly.
On that note, we'll say goodbye. Thanks, everybody. Cheers.